Congregation, we now turn to the Word of God and we shall read from the book of Leviticus, chapter 14. We read the verses 1 through 20, Leviticus 14, the first 20 verses. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look and behold if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper. Then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. And he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, and shave off all his hair, and wash himself in water, that he may be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp, and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. But it shall be on the 7th day that he shall shave all his hair off his head, and his beard, and his eyebrows, even all his hair he shall shave off, and he shall wash his clothes, also he shall wash his flesh in water, and he shall be clean. And on the 8th day he shall take 2 he-lambs without blemish, and 1 ewe lamb of the 1st year without blemish, and 3 tenth deals of fine flour for a meat offering, mingled with oil, and 1 log of oil. And the priest that maketh him clean shall present the man that is to be made clean, and those things before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall take 1 he-lamb and offer him for a trespass offering, and a log of oil, and wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. And he shall slay the lamb in the place where he shall kill the sin offering and the burnt offering in the holy place. For as the sin offering is the priest, so is the trespass offering, it is most holy. And the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. And the priest shall take some of the log of oil, and pour it into the palm of his own left hand, and the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is in his left hand, and shall sprinkle of the oil with his finger 7 times before the Lord. And of the rest of the oil that is in his hand shall the priest put upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, upon the blood of the trespass offering. And the remnant of the oil that is in the priest's hand he shall pour upon the head of him that is to be cleansed, and the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord. And the priest shall offer the sin offering, and make an atonement for him that is to be cleansed from his uncleanness, and afterward he shall kill the burnt offering. And the priest shall offer the burnt offering and the meat offering upon the altar, and the priest shall make an atonement for him, and he shall be clean. God's word, our text for the preaching of this afternoon, is found in Leviticus 14, verse 14 and verse 17. Leviticus 14, the verses 14 and 17. And the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. And of the rest of the oil that is in his hand shall the priest put upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, upon the blood of the trespass offering. This morning we heard that every word of God is pure. That was the statement we found in Proverbs chapter 30 from the pen of a man named Agur. And he knew that this was so, and he was convinced of this truth, and he had experienced that this is the truth. Indeed, every word of God is pure. Also the words from the book of Leviticus. They are all pure. I think that the book of Leviticus is one of the most unknown books in the Word of God. And that quite a number of us hardly ever read in that book. Though we do read the Word of God, I think there are a number of Christian people that when they read this book, the Word of God, they skip the book of Leviticus, as they also skip the genealogies in other books of the Bible and maybe some other parts yet. The question is, what do we have to do with all those precepts and all these regulations as far as worship is concerned? We worship differently anyway. We have no temple anymore. We have no altar any longer. We do not bring sacrifices, animal sacrifices to the Lord. We have no priests. We have no high priest. And because we have no high priest, we have not the high priestly garments, etc. We do not have those Levitical feasts. We do not have such a religious calendar as the Jews used to have. So what is the use of read all these precepts? They are outdated anyway. And therefore, when we have that opinion and that idea and act upon that idea, then we skip also these lengthy chapters dealing with leprosy and the healing of the leper, Leviticus 13 and Leviticus 14. And we do not consider these lengthy chapters to be relevant for us today. And yet the words of Agur apply also to what we read in this book of the Bible. Every word of God is pure. And believing what Agur has written and acting upon that statement, we will concentrate on a few words from Leviticus chapter 14. About what God has said about the cleaning of a leper. Now, before I say a few things about the cleaning of a leper, you will understand that I must say, first of all, a few things about what a leper is and what was leprosy. So a few words about the sickness and the results of that sickness, uncleanness, for instance. And especially I feel obliged to say a few words about the sickness of leprosy, because in the rest of the Word of God this sickness is used as an illustration, as a symbol of the dreadful and horrible state a sinner by nature is in. Leprosy then was a very terrible, a horrible illness. There were several sorts of leprosy, and the one kind of leprosy ruined the victim faster than the other kind, but all kinds of this illness had one thing in common: they were incurable. Sooner or later, a man who had been attacked by this illness must certainly die. In its worst kind, leprosy was an illness that started with the breaking out with bright spots and blisters and scabs. They extended, and finally the whole body was covered with them, and in many times the leper became totally white. Moreover, that illness did not only destroy the skin, it also destroyed the flesh under the skin. Ears, nose, lips, everything became mutilated, and not seldom it happened that hands or feet or even bigger parts of the body simply fell off from the body. Indeed, a leper was a living corpse. In a word, it was a terrible thing to be victim of this sickness. And the condition of such a man went from bad to worse. At first, the sickness was something which he did not even feel, but it did not last long, and then he did feel it, and the pain began, and all the rest. And pains were not the only result. There was something which made other people shun a leper. You can imagine that. For to look upon such a deformed person, such a loathsome person, full of putrefying sores, it was a difficult thing to look upon such a person. Instinctively and almost automatically we would turn our eyes away, and that made the leper suffer even more. He began to feel lonely, forsaken, forlorn, and that was all aggravated by what must be done with the leper. Leviticus 13 tells us what a man or a woman had to do when they first discovered some signs which could possibly indicate that they were attacked by that sickness. Then they had to go to the priest, and the priest had to examine them. And in case the priest found out that there was leprosy indeed, the man was pronounced unclean. And read then what it says in the verses 45 and 46 of chapter 13. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip, and he shall cry, unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled, he is unclean, he shall dwell alone, without the camp shall his habitation be. Maybe we are now inclined to say, well, these are quite rude and cruel measures. And they did put an extra burden upon those poor wretches who suffered already so much. Now they have to stay outside of the community, and they are forbidden to live together with other people. They are pronounced unclean, and the consequence of being pronounced unclean was that they were not even allowed anymore to enter into the Lord's sanctuary to serve the Lord in the holy place. They were completely left out. Why all these precepts? By all these measures. This has to do with the special character of this sickness. We read in Leviticus 13 verse 45 that leprosy was called the plague. The plague. The blow. It was experienced as a hard blow from God's hand. And that is because in many cases there was a special connection between this sickness and sin committed. I do not say that there was also that close connection, but we are given a few examples and illustrations in the Word of God where we see that there was a very close connection. Think of Miriam in Numbers chapter 12. When she rebelled against Moses, she was smitten with leprosy. Remember Elisha's servant Gehazi, when he lied to his master, he was smitten with leprosy. Remember King Uzziah in Jerusalem, the kingdom of Judah, when he entered into the holy place against the advice of the high priest and against the advice of other priests, because he insisted that he should have the right to sacrifice the frankincense upon the altar in the holy place. He was smitten with leprosy. It was a sign of God's displeasure. It was a token that God was wroth. And for all these reasons, we may say that leprosy was one of the most terrible illnesses one could be touched by. The character of the illness itself, also the consequences of it, made it utterly abominable and dreadful. Such a man was dead in the flesh. Remember what Aaron said in the case of Miriam's leprosy. He said to Moses, "Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb." And in the book of Job, leprosy is called the firstborn of death, who devours the strength of its victims. Death has already laid its hands on the leper, and nobody was ever able to rescue him from the power of death. And for that reason, the leper has to rend his clothes, to have his head bare, to cover his upper lip, and all these things, and we know that from other instances in the Word of God, were mourning observances. The leper mourned for his own death. Cut off from the congregation, he could not expect to have any communion with other people yet. He was driven out of the camp from among the other creatures. Imagine such a wretch with his pale, ghastly face, his hollow eyes, his unsightly form, his putrefying source, cut off from the number of living men, lingering at the gates of death, not permitted to enter into the holy place. He can see the happy tents of healthy Israel, but he sits there without, mourning, in sadness, pining away in his woes, smitten of God. And if you would approach him, you would hear that hoarse voice cry, "Unclean, unclean." And that miserable creature is now a picture, an illustration of what you and I are. When an Israelite heard the words from Isaiah 1 verse 6, "The whole head is sick, the whole heart faint, from the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores," he automatically had before his mind's eye the picture of a leper. When David pens the words in Psalm 38, and then he borrows his words from the expressions in the book of Leviticus, describing a leper, "My wounds stink and are corrupt. My loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh." And no doubt, these verses describe the horrid features of sin. Congregation, in this leprosy, a figure is given of who it is with us by nature. We may not be aware of that situation, and the natural man has not seen his real condition, and the natural man, without any illuminating work of the Holy Spirit, fancies that he is healthy and that he is able to do many things good, and that there is not such a problem in his life. But according to God's opinion, there is this terrible problem. And we are terribly and totally miserable. And leprosy is a fitting figure of what we are. And sin has caused us to be alienated from God. Sin has caused us to be lost, excluded from the presence of sin. And according to the words of the Apostle Paul, sin causes us to be dead in trespasses, unclean, unfit for the service of the Lord. And God must turn his face away from beholding us. And if you have never seen your real condition, I urge you, apply yourself to the doctor, to the priest, that finally your eyes may be opened and that you begin to see what is the matter with you. Are there not these silent moments in your life? Let me appeal to your conscience. Are there not those silent moments in your life when you lie in bed or when you are all alone sitting in your room or whatever, and when you reflect on the past day or the past week, and when you remember that nasty word you spoke and that ugly thing you did and that sinful thought that crossed your mind? Have your hearts never been touched? And is your conscience never pricked when you hear the gospel preached and proclaimed unto you in all honesty? Have you never seen those scabs? Are they not clear signs that there is something wrong with you? Your accusing conscience, the shame you at times feel, the terrible feeling that you cannot even completely and perfectly describe. These are scabs. These are tokens that something is really wrong within. Then go to the priest. Go to the great high priest. Let him examine you. Let him diagnose you. Let him tell you what's the matter with you. Let him show you that there is only filthiness within. And do no longer delude yourselves. And do no longer try to evade from the conviction of having a deadly illness. Do not do so foolish as some people do when it comes to physical sicknesses. They postpone going to the doctor and they delay going to see the doctor because they are afraid of what the doctor may tell them. And when time passes and when time passes again, and when they finally go to the doctor, they may go too late. Don't do that. Not even with your physical experiences and your physical situation. I think it is very significant that the Israelite is told that he must go to the priest to have himself examined by the priest. And that reminds us of the great high priest, does it not? And if we so go to the great high priest, to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is also our prophet, our teacher, who teaches us all what we need to know, who instructs us also in the things we need to know, to the end that we may be saved, that we may receive saving knowledge. And part of the saving knowledge is also that we know who we are and what our condition is and how lost we are. The priest, the Lord Jesus, must tell us the knowledge of sin. He must tell us how leprous we are. But he is at the same time able to do what a priest in Israel was not able to do. A priest in Israel could diagnose, could examine, could pronounce unclean, and that's what it was. And further, his abilities did not go. But the Lord Jesus, the great high priest, he is not only able to diagnose and to examine and to pronounce unclean and to tell us honestly what we are and what sin has made of us, but he is also able to procure health, to restore us into health. And therefore, and now I come to the words of our text, Leviticus 14, after we have been informed about the illness and about the terribleness of the illness, Leviticus 14 instructs us concerning the way lepers could yet be cleansed. Though God indeed had pronounced judgment upon those people, in his wrath, apparently, the Lord remembers mercy. And at times it happened that a leper could detect in his own body that things were changing, and then he had to go to the priest again, and he had to present himself again to the priest, and to have himself examined again, and then the priest could probably detect that the illness had stopped and that health had returned. And that's what we are told in chapter 14, and from that chapter we have taken our text particularly. If the priest, after re-examining the leper, found that the leprosy had stopped and that healing had returned, he admitted him after a few ceremonies into the camp again. And yet, after he was allowed to return into the camp, he was told that for another week the man had to stay outside in the camp, but yet outside of his own tent. For another ceremony had to take place first. He was now whole again, he was healthy, but he was not cleansed. That means he was not yet fit for the service of the Lord. And therefore it took him another 7 days. And then the man had to go to the priest again. And now he had to bring along a few sacrifices. 3 sacrifices. For atonement must be made now. 2 he lambs and a ewe lamb. And for the rest, some meal and some oil. And all these things do have a meaning, of course, but I will limit myself and tell you what has to happen with the blood of one of those he lambs and the oil. One of the lambs had to be killed as a trespass offering. And there the element of the atonement comes in. For guilt must be removed. And God in this case was willing to accept the lamb, the offering, as a substitute. And the lamb therefore died in the stead of the leper. And now look at what the priest did. He took some of the blood of that sacrifice, of that trespass offering, that blood of atonement, and he put it upon the tip of the right ear of the leper. He also put it upon the thumb of his right hand. And he put some also upon the great toe of his right foot. And after that, the priest poured the oil into the palm of his hand, of his left hand, and with his right finger, he sprinkled some of the oil before the Lord, and then he approached again to the leper and he put some of the oil out of the palm of his left hand and he put it on the top of the right ear of the leper and on the right thumb of the thumb of his right hand and on the great toe of his right foot. Upon the blood he also put some of the oil. What are we told here? Is this just another rather circumstantial ceremony, an act without any further meaning? No, there are no acts without any further meaning in all the Word of God. Every Word of God is pure. Here we have proof that our catechism in Lord's Day 6 is right. When in Lord's Day 6, question answer 19, we are told that we find the gospel throughout the whole Bible. The gospel concerning the Lord Jesus Christ is not only found in Matthew, Mark and Luke and John and in the epistles of the Apostle Paul and in some of the prophecies in the Old Testament, Isaiah 4:53 for instance, but it is also found, this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the ceremonies of the law. Here we have rich gospel preaching congregation. Let's try to understand it. The leper has lived in seclusion, remember? He was driven out of the communion with the rest of the people. He was driven out of the communion with the Lord. And during all those days of his being a leper, he was dwelling outside of the camp, and he could never enter into the camp, and he could never visit his relatives, and he could never visit his former friends, and he was not allowed to go to the tabernacle, and he was not to go allowed in the days when Israel lived in the land of Canaan to ever go to the temple or to the courts of the temple. He was not allowed to participate in the service of the Lord. He could not join with the people in the singing of Israel's psalms. He could not hear Moses or some other of the leaders of Israel proclaim the word of God. He could not bring an offering at any time. He could never receive the priestly blessing. He was completely lost in all these things and being unclean. He was forsaken. But now all of this has come to an end. He is healthy again. And he is readmitted into the camp already. And now he is also going to be readmitted into the service of the Lord. And what does the Lord now say to him? In a ceremonial way. Now look again at what the priest is doing. Blood is put on the top of his right ear, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the great toe of his right foot. His head, his hand, his foot are all marked by blood. From head to foot, while before it was from the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it. And now there is blood on his right side, because in most cases that is the important side, since most people are right-handed. And blood upon his right ear says, now you are cleansed. For a long time you was not able to listen to what was said in the tabernacle, what was spoken by the priest. You were not allowed to hear that. You were forsaken. But now you may return, and now you may hear the joyful sound again, and now you may hear the priestly blessing, and now you may hear the proclamation of the gospel, and now you may hear the reading of the law. Blood on the top of the right, the thumb of the right hand, it says, you are clean now. For a long time you were not able to serve the Lord, but now with clean hands you may again bring sacrifices, and you may again do the Lord's work. And the blood on the great toe of the right foot says, there was a time that you had to swerve outside the camp, and you were not allowed to enter into the camp and to approach the Lord's sanctuary. But now you may walk again to the Lord's sanctuary. Now you are welcome again. Now your feet are clean. You may walk in the Lord's ways. Isn't that a glorious gospel message? when God in this ceremonial way expresses that he is willing to receive that man who was the token of God's anger, who was under the blow, under the plague. So long he was left out, so long he was dwelling without God, without God's people, exposed to the wrath of God, bent down under the misery and the wretchedness, and now he is readmitted into God's presence. For the blood is upon him, the blood of the sacrifice, the blood of atonement. He is reconciled to God, and the sins are removed, and there is nothing that stands in the way. Justifying blood it is, shed in his stead for his trespasses. Can you imagine what happiness, what joy was experienced by such a man who experienced what the priest did unto him? What the chains had now come into his condition. No longer he is expelled, no longer he is forsaken. He may return. God looks upon him in favor again. God grants him mercy. He may hear again what God is willing to speak to a lost sinner. What gospel sound do we hear in this place, congregation? Here we are, here we hear the message of the all-atoning blood of the great high priest, who has given his soul a ransom for many, who died the sacrificial death on the cross, who was the trespass offering when he was on Calvary's cross. His blood was shed, and that blood really atones and removes the guilt of God's people. Now, I told you that we all are lepers by nature. I told you that our condition is really bad, and that nobody is able to help us. No father, no mother, no husband, no wife. But I may also tell you that though nobody is able to help us and relieve us, Jesus Christ is able. And he is not only able, but he is also willing. And therefore, let us go again to him. I urge you to go unto him. Let him diagnose you. Let him examine you. Let him tell you what is the matter, what is the problem with you, and submit to his judgment and accept his words that condemn you, and accept the message that tells you that you are a sinner, and bewail your condition in his presence, and cry out unto the Lord, Lord, I am unclean. Do what David did in Psalm 51. Confess your sins. Express before him the agony of your soul. Come with that broken heart, that heart which he has broken. But not only confess sin, not only admit what sin has done to you, no, not only admit that you are not worthy to have any mercy received, but do also bring in your petitions. And do again what David did, not only confess his sins, but also ask the Lord, Lord, be merciful to me. Pardon my sins. Take away my guilt. Do what that leper did, concerning whom we read in the New Testament. When he came to Jesus, he said to the Lord Jesus, realizing what he was, realizing what the leprosy had done with him, realizing that he was not even allowed to approach the Lord Jesus Christ. But he could not stay away. His need was so great. He must be with him. And when he was with him, he fell on his knees and he said, Lord, be merciful to me. Heal thou me. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Lord, therefore, help me. Deliver me. Thou art a mighty God. Thou art a great Savior. Didst thou not shed thy blood, O Lord Jesus Christ? And is there not sufficient power in thy blood to save me and to cleanse me from all my sins? Thou hast saved so many lepers already. Thou hast blotted out so many people's guilt already. O Lord, wilt thou then not look upon me in mercy? I have not deserved anything. I have not deserved any token of thy favor. But Lord, for thy name's sake, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. Admit your helplessness and admit the reality of your lost case. Tell the Lord that you are a hopeless lost sinner. Tell him that you have forfeited everything, but plead with him. And do not let him go until he has blessed you. And if you so come, do you know what this great high priest will do? The same as what he did with that leper concerning whom we read in Mark chapter 1. When he came, that leper, beseeching the Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. The Lord Jesus answered, and he said, I will. Be thou clean. And when he says so, he as the great priest is willing to touch you, just like the priest in Leviticus 14 touched the leper. Touch your ear, the thumb of your right hand, and the great toe of your right foot, and put the blood upon it. Touch your head. Touch your hand and touch your foot and tell you, you were dead, I know. You were dead, but you are alive again. You were lost and are found again. And my blood atones for all your sins. And my blood blots out all your guilt. And now you may hear again, and you may walk again in my ways. And I no longer turn my face away. You are no longer loathsome in my eyes. You are no longer abominable in my sight. Your sins are forgiven, and I have a delight in all my people. What a change, what a grace. If the blood is going to be put upon us, what a grace when the blood is indeed applied to our body, to our soul, and then we learn ourselves to know as unclean people, yet cleansed by the blood of the Savior, by the blood that he has given as a sacrifice for our sins. He, that perfect, innocent Lamb of God. And we do not need any other lamb. He has done enough. And his blood is precious and his blood is sufficient. All sufficient it is. And the Lord says, and we may hear him say, I will no longer be wroth with you. And I will no longer rebuke you. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved you. You cannot imagine what you hear. Being honorable in his sight, being precious in his sight, after you have come to know yourselves to a certain extent, then you must admit before the Lord, Lord, I am such an abomination. And now to hear that God says, that Christ says, you are precious. You are honorable. If that special blessing is bestowed upon us, we do not even dare to believe that what we hear is true. And after this has happened, is the leper now allowed to return to his own tent? He may return to the service of the Lord now, yes. But what would you think would happen if he, with the blood upon him, would return to the service of the Lord and enter into the sanctuary again and seek and walk in the Lord's ways? What would happen? Of course, in the first time he would be very happy. He would be very happy. And he would give himself wholly to the service of the Lord, and he would gladly run in the paths of obedience. But not too long after, he will be disappointed again. And he will discover what the Apostle Paul also did discover, and what all God's children at a certain time in their life are going to discover, that the will is present with them. But how they are able to perform, they do not find. There is another law in their members still. And that other law takes them captive again. And it brings them into captivity of the law of sin. And if nothing else would happen, that cleansed leper would despair. If not, yes, if not, something else is put upon the top of his ear. There is blood now. But after the priest has put the blood upon these three parts of his body, the priest pours the oil in the palm of his left hand. And with his right finger, his index finger, he takes off that oil and he sprinkles it before the Lord, and then he approaches the leper again and he again touches the top of his right ear and the thumb of his right hand and the great toe of his right foot. And he puts the oil upon the blood. What is the meaning of that ceremony? Oil? Oh, remember what happened to David. Remember what happened to the priests, for instance. When they were anointed with oil, they received the symbol of the Holy Spirit. The anointing of a king, King David, for instance, was to symbolize that the Holy Spirit was going to equip him and endow him with special gifts so that he would be able to perform that work to which he was called. Oil as a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Not only the blood of Christ is what we need, but we also are in the need of the work of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit obtained by Christ. And that Spirit is so necessary to enable us to walk in the ways of the Lord. That Spirit is so required to the end that we may be taught and be guided, and that we may receive understanding in the Word of God, that we may be enlightened, that our ears again and again may be opened, and that our heart again and again may be enlightened, and that the will of God is written upon the tables of our heart. This is all the work of the Holy Spirit, not only the blood of Christ for our justification, but also the Spirit of Christ for our sanctification, for the life of true obedience, for the walk in the fear of God's name, the walk in true dedication to the Lord's statutes. And though then there is still that other law in our members that takes us captive again and again, and though we do experience to our sadness that we cannot serve the Lord as we ought to serve him, and though we do to our sadness and to our disappointment experience that sin is not dead, but that it is very much alive at times, the indwelling Spirit, who has taken up his abode within the soul, enables the sinner again and again to sincerely resolve. And now I'm quoting from Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 44. not only sincerely resolve, but also to begin to live, not only according to some, but to all the commandments of God. And now there are times that we are gladly listening to what the Lord has to say. And it is our sincere prayer at times. I realize it is at times. There are other times as well. But there are those moments in the life of God's children that they can honestly say with one of the psalmists, Lord, how do I love thy law? It is because the oil is upon the blood. How do I love thy word? How do I desire to walk in the ways of wisdom? How do I gladly give my head and my hand and my feet to thy service, O Lord? Oil put upon the blood, the Spirit comes upon the atonement. Would you never separate these two? The leper could not be content with only blood, and neither could the leper be content with only oil. He was in need of both. Do not separate these two. Do not do what some people do. They think when Christ died for me, and he atoned for my sins, and now all is fine, and I'm reconciled to God. And they never feel that they are still lost in their sin, and in the need of the Holy Spirit. And they can manage. They have only that belief, that faith in the objective truth, and for the rest they don't bother. And do not do what other people do and make another mistake. People that are only considering the importance of the Holy Spirit, and all they do is speaking about the gifts of the Spirit and about the speaking in tongues and all these other things, and they forget about Christ and his atoning blood. Don't make a mistake that you separate the blood from the oil and the oil from the blood. In creation, I'm going to conclude my sermon. Have you understood the message? May I quote again what I said at the beginning of this sermon? Every word of God is pure. Also the words concerning the oil and the blood. And the blood and the oil upon the ear and the hand and the foot. Do you understand the message when it tells us that we are leprous people? That we must go to the priest. Are you going to the priest after the service is over? Are you going to consult with the heavenly physician and ask the Lord what's the matter with you, and to deal honestly with your soul, and to open your eyes for your lost state and condition? Or are you going with the symptoms of your sickness that you have discovered already, the scabs and the blisters, and ask the Lord, Lord, deal honestly with me. Show me my need. Teach me who I am. Teach me also the knowledge of self. Or are you going to ask the priest, the great high priest, the Lord Jesus, Lord, thou art able to cleanse me. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And stay there and wait for his answer. And don't go home. Don't return to your usual business until you have heard him say, I will. I will make you clean. Until he has approached you with the blood to put it upon your ear, and your hand, and your foot. And until he has also put the oil of the Spirit there. Amen.